Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're studying Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that's 10a. About halfway down the page, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines down from the top. And we're discussing the following topic. We've been discussing two cities, Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, and Shiloh or Shiloh. Before the Beit HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, there was a temporary Beit HaMikdash, a house of God that was built in Shiloh for many years, and they brought sacrifices there. And we said that the major difference between them, in our Mishnah it says that after Shiloh was destroyed or disassembled, when it was no longer functioning, that they were allowed to have bamot, private altars, or public slash private altars that were not in a Beit HaMikdash type setting. Whereas after Yerushalayim, once there was a Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, even after Yerushalayim and the temple were destroyed, the heter bamot, the possibility of having private altars, was no longer allowed. So we said that this might be connected to a separate machloket, which is, does the holiness of Jerusalem continue forever, or does it stop after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? So when you say that it goes forever, we say kidsha lishata. It was established at that time, temporarily, while it was standing. V'kidsha le'atid lavo, and it continued to be sanctified for all time to come. So even after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, even today, for instance, on the Temple Mount, the same holiness would apply. Once it was sanctified, it remains holy forever. The other side of the argument is kidsha l'shata, it was sanctified at that time, v'lo kidsha l'atid lavo, but it was not sanctified forever, and once it becomes destroyed, the sanctity lapses. And the main distinction, let's say, between the first and second temples would be, when they came back to build the second Beit HaMikdash, did they have to re-sanctify it, or was it already sanctified? And that's the question that we're dealing with now. So we say Tana'ehi. It is a argument between two Tana'im. That Ditanya is in a parentheses. If you look at the footnote, you'll see that it should be Ditnan, as we learned in a Mishnah, not in a Braita. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, Shamati, I heard an oral report. Kishahayu bonin bahechal, when they were building the sanctuary in the second Beit HaMikdash, osin klain lahechal, they made curtains that screened off the sanctuary, uklaim la'azara, and they made curtains that screened off the courtyard. Elisha behechal, but in the sanctuary, bonin mibachutz, the workers that hung the curtains stood outside, so they wouldn't have to stand inside the holy area, they stood outside. Uba azara, but when they were hanging the curtains in the courtyard, bonin mibifnim, they were able to stand inside the courtyard and hang the curtains on the outside, because they were allowed to be inside the azara. However, basically, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that they had to hang curtains. Now, our understanding of this is going to be, as we'll see in a minute, that the hanging of the curtains indicated that until they hung the curtains, they could not bring karbanot. In other words, they had to re-sanctify the temple in order to bring karbanot, which would be arguing that the original kedusha had lapsed and it needed to be reinstated. On the other hand, the second opinion is V'amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, Shamati, I heard an oral report, Shema Krivin, that they offered sacrifices, Afal pi she'ein bayit, even though there was no house, meaning the construction had not been completed. Ochlin kodshe kodshim, they were able to eat the holy sacrifices, the holiest level of sacrifices, Afal pi she'ein klaim, even though there were no curtains. Kachim Kali Mumasasheni, and they were able to eat the lower sanctified sacrifices and the second tithe, Afal Pisha in Choma, even though there was no wall. Mipnei, because Shekedusha Rishona, the original sanctity that was established in the first Beit HaMikdash, Kidsha Lashata, it was made it sanctified for that time. V'kidsha le'atid lavo, and it was sanctified for all time afterwards. So even though the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the sanctity remained, and therefore it did not need to be renewed when they came to the second Beit HaMikdash, and they were able to offer sacrifices even though they had not completed the construction or re-sanctified it. Miklal, if that's so, then we can derive The Rabbi Eliezer Savar, lo kitshal la'atid lavo. The Rabbi Eliezer, the first opinion, said that the original sanctity did not last forever, and in other words, they had to hang the curtains in order to do a re-sanctification process to create the sanctity so they could offer the karbonot. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, and they are the last generation of Amoraim. Ravina and Ravashi are generally attributed with doing the bulk of the editing of the Babylonian Talmud. Mimai, how do you know this is true? Dilma, perhaps, de Kule Alma. Everyone agrees. Kule Alma means the whole world, Kol Ha'olam. The whole world, everyone agrees, Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita, that the first sanctity was sanctified for that time, v'kidusha la'atid lavo, and it continued on for all time. The original sanctity never lapsed. Umar, my dishmiele ka'amar. Umar, my dishmiele ka'amar. And they were simply arguing about what happened. They were just saying that they heard two different reports. One guy said that he heard that they hung curtains, and one said that they offered sacrifices even before they were curtains. But they're not really making an argument about whether or not the original Kedusha remained or lapsed. V'chitema kla'im l'Rabbi Eliezer lamali. So if that's the case, then why did Rabbi Eliezer have to specify, why was it important to specify that they hung curtains? It sounded like they needed to actually sanctify it. So he says, l'tzniut d'alma. No, it was only just for tzniut. Like, it makes sense that you should hang a curtain over the Holy of Holies so that it's not open to everybody's prying eyes, but it wasn't in order for it to be sanctified. And Rashi, he mentions that it was possible to do a sanctification in the Second Temple in a different way than the First Temple. They were missing a lot of different things. They didn't have an Urim Bitumim or a number. There were a number of aspects of the Second Beit HaMikdash that were missing. So if they were going to sanctify it, they would have had to do it in a different way. What they basically did is they offered a Karban Todah, a Thanksgiving offering, and they carried it around the sanctuary. And by carrying it around the sanctuary, by doing a circuit around the sanctuary, that was the way in which they would sanctify it. But according to the conclusion of the Gemara, we cannot say for certain whether or not there is such a machloket. It's possible that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua held that the original sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash continued even after it was destroyed. So we're going to bring a different machloket. And this is a machloket that appears several times throughout Shas. In places that we're mentioning so far, the place that we mentioned talks about that is Shavuot Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is a few pages before that. And now we're going to quote a section from the Gemara in Arachin in Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Ela ki hane tanai. Rather, the machloket about whether or not the original sanctity lapses or remains is found in this machloket Tanaim, Ditanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi's first opinion. We're going to see a second opinion of his in a moment. But the first opinion of Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, he says, Lama manu chachamim et elu. Why did the sages count these particular cities? Now, the cities we're talking about are a group of cities in Arachin that are what they called Moshav Beit Ir Choma. They are cities that are inside of a wall. They are inside of a walled city, and there are rules for how you purchase and sell homes inside of a walled city. So the Mishnah in Arachin specifies a certain group of cities, specifically. Let's see, I have it right here. I'm on the wrong page, that's why. It specifies these particular group of cities that are Katzra HaYishana, the old city of Katzra, the city of Tzipori, the section of Gush Chalav, Yodfat, the old Yodfat, Gamla, Gidud, Hadid, Ona, and Yerushalayim. These cities are specified as cities that we know are Ir Choma. They were walled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So why did it specify these particular cities, these seven cities? So the answer that's given is, and I'm in the first wide line now, in the middle of the first wide line, Shekisha'alu b'nei ha'gula, when the people coming from Babylonia, who were coming up to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash after the Cyrus proclamation. So just, you know, in between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash, when these members of the diaspora, B'nai HaGola, came up from Babylon, from Babylonia, Matz'u et Eila, they found these cities. They were apparently destroyed cities or semi-destroyed cities. V'kitchum, and they sanctified them. Aval HaRishonot, but Lu Mishabet La Haaretz, but all of the original cities, their sanctity had lapsed when the land of Israel had been destroyed at the time of the first temple. Alma, therefore, Kasavar, he must hold, Kedusha Rishona Kidsha Leshata, the original sanctity was sanctified temporarily, Velo Kidsha Le'atid Lavo, but it was not sanctified for all time to come. So the fact that it specified these particular cities, that they found these destroyed cities and rebuilt them, shows that they had to re-sanctify them because the original sanctity had lapsed. That's the argument. So according to that argument, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi holds that the original sanctity lapsed. Ura minhu, but I'll bring a contradiction. I'm four lines up from the bottom. Here we have a different opinion of Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, v'chi elu bilvad hayu, were there only these seven cities? Are those the only seven cities that were mentioned? V'halok far nemar, doesn't it say in the book of Devarim, this is Devarim chapter 3, and it's talking about when they conquered the territory of Og Melech HaBashan, and it says that they conquered, it says, Vanilkodet kol Arav ba'etahi, this is Pasuk Dalet, chapter 3, verse Dalet, and they conquered all of his cities at that time. Lo haita kirya asher lo lakachnu meitam, there was no city that we didn't take away from them. Shishim ir kol chevel argov, there were 60 cities, the whole Argov corridor that was in the kingdom of Og in Bashan, they conquered them. So you had all these additional 60 cities. What happened to those 60 cities? And then in the next verse it says, "Kol ele arim b'tzurot choma gvoha delataim uvriach." These were all cities that were fortified with high walls and doors and locks. You know, locks that so that you couldn't open the doors. And then it says, and we mentioned this pasuk earlier, "Levad me'arei haprazi," not counting the unwalled and unfortified cities. And we had used that language of arei haprazi to show that unwalled cities. Are unwalled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun, which is when they were conquering the cities of Og Melech HaBashan. Okay, so you had all of these additional cities. You didn't just have seven cities. You had 60 cities in the Argov corridor. So what happened to all these cities? Ella, by end of the second line up from the bottom, Ella lama manu chachamim et elu. So why did the rabbis mention only the seven cities in the tractate of Arachim? Shekishalu b'nei agola matzu elu v'kitchum, that when they came up during the second temple period, they found these cities and they sanctified them. But the Gemara asks, last word on the Amud, kitchum, but they had to sanctify them? Hashta ha'amri lo tzricha likadushay. But according to you, they shouldn't have to sanctify them. They were already sanctified. Lo tzricha likdusha, they shouldn't have needed to be sanctified. They were already sanctified. This opinion holds that the sanctity of Yerushalayim never lapsed. It remained for all time. Ela matzu et elu umina'um. They found these seven cities and they counted them. So they specified that these particular seven cities were walled from the time of Yoshua bin Nun. That's why they counted them. However, the sanctity of the original sanctity that was established at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash did not lapse. It continued on for all time. Velo elu bilvad, not only those seven cities that they counted, ela kol sheta'ale lecha misoret biyadcha me'avotecha, but any city that we have a tradition, a misora, in our hands from our forefathers, shemukefet choma mimot Yoshua bin Nun, that they were surrounded by a wall from the time of Yoshua bin Nun. And this is, I think, important to the flow of the Gemara. What we're talking about here is what we call the masoret, the oral tradition. So we are determining which walled cities are considered to have been walled from the time of Yoshua bin Nun for the sake of determining if they are a Moshav Beit Ir Choma, if they are considered a walled city that has specific Torah rules related to it, based on a Misora that we have from our forefathers. So they counted these cities as an example of the Misora, but any other cities that we have a Misora that they were walled from the time of Joshua, we count. And what do we count them for? Kol HaMitzvot HaLalu, all these mitzvot, Nohaginba are conducted in these cities, and these are a number of mitzvot that pertain to walled cities. Rashi mentions two of them, but in particular, he mentions Kriyat HaMegillah, the fact that if it's a city that's walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and we have such an oral tradition, then they read on the 15th of Adar. Why? Mipnei shekidusha rishona kidsha l'shata v'kidsha le'atid lavo. The original sanctity lasts forever. So the second line of reasoning here seems to indicate that the original Kedusha never lapsed. Now we have a problem here, a technical problem. Kasha de Rabbi Yishmael ad Rabbi Yishmael. We have two opinions of Rabbi Yishmael. The first opinion of Rabbi Yishmael seems to indicate that the Kedusha did lapse, and the second seems to indicate that it didn't lapse. So which is the real Rabbi Yishmael? So we answer with two possibilities. Trei Tana'e, Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. It could be that there were two Tana'im, so two students of Rabbi Yishmael who disagreed as to Rabbi Yishmael's true opinion. Aliba means according to Rabbi Yishmael. So we had one Tana who said Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is that the Kedusha did lapse, and one Tana who said that Rabbi Yishmael's opinion was that the Kedusha didn't lapse, and we don't know which one is his real opinion. V'ibayit Ema, or I could alternatively say, Ha Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosi. We said that they were both, we cited them both in the name of Rabbi Yishmael bar Yosi, but maybe one of them was a mistake, a scribal error, and instead of Rabbi Yishmael bar Yosi, it should have said Rabbi Elazar bar Yosi, because we know Rabbi Elazar bar Yosi said, and we have this back on Daf Gimel Amud Bet, he said, Amra, Ditanya, as it said in a Braita, Rabbi Elazar bar Yosi Amar, Asher lo choma, we have a pasuk in Vayikra that says that these cities that have a wall, but it's spelled an unusual way. It's spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. Now, if you spell Lamed Vav, it means he has a wall. If you spell it Lamed Aleph, it means that doesn't have a wall. So he interprets it as meaning both. Af al pi she'ein lo achshav, it doesn't have a wall now. V'haya lo kodem lachem, but it did have a wall. So it both means that it had a wall and it didn't have a wall. It used to have a wall and it doesn't have a wall now. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi says we still consider it a city. Its original sanctification as a walled city does not lapse. So we have such a machloket, which is a shas machloket, that some people think that the original sanctity lapses and some think that the original sanctity does not lapse. The Gemara here does not reach a final conclusion. It simply indicates that there is such a machloket. And we're going to stop here, and in our next set of recordings, we're going to start darshaning the Megillah. We're going to start going through the Megillah verse by verse and giving a number of Agada commentaries on it. Have a wonderful day.